the Lord, the one that they would praise as the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they must have thought, okay, look at this. Now we're getting somewhere. Now this king is acting like he's supposed to. Now this is what we've been looking for. At last, we're going to see the Messiah swing into action and do what we imagine him to do all along. There can be no doubt about it. Jesus is a king. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He rules with power and majesty. However, it doesn't go the way they expected to. In a short while after entering Jerusalem, he's nailed to a cross. He is going to die. And looking at Jesus on the cross, he appears to be anything but a king, anything but the ruler of the universe. He is bloody and beaten and treated as a criminal, mocked and dies a shameful death. And if you were standing there, or any onlooker was standing there, nothing about this man on the cross makes you think that he's a king. This is not the way the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is supposed to be treated. And if we think Jesus as a king in human terms, then you're right. But you see, brothers and sisters, that's the whole point of this message. Jesus is not that which is only human. And God's ways are not man's ways. Jesus is king, but he's a different kind of king. He's a servant king. He has come to serve, to help, to give relief and support humbly and selflessly. Whether we talk about the bowl of water and towel at the Last Supper, or whether we talk about his suffering at the hands of evil people, or dying of the shameful death of a criminal on a cross, or whether we talk about him riding on a humble donkey into Jerusalem, all of these, the Last Supper and the suffering and the dying on a cross and the riding not on a stallion but a donkey, these are powerful symbols of the way Jesus saw the task that his Father had given him and that he was to follow. You remember the scripture you read with me? He emptied himself, being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. If serving meant laying down his life, then that's what the true King of Heaven would do. What does that mean for you and me today? This all happened a long time ago. We're talking about thousands of years ago. What does this story, what does this scripture, what does this meaning have for us today? Well, I want to make two points of it. And the first point is this. I want, in making this, is talking about Jesus' hidden beauty is the meaning of Jesus being a servant king. He was the Son of God. Yet he came down to earth for us. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he died for us. Can you grasp the magnitude and the love behind that act? I can't in time. When I'm reading the scripture, or when I'm praying, or when I'm doing certain things, all of a sudden I get glimpses of what it means, of the magnitude of what Jesus did for me, his love for me. You see, here is the King of the universe. Here is the creator of all of life. Here is the one that knows all and sees all and understands, the perfect Son of the Most High God. He just emptied himself of all of that. He just gave up all of that, all of his power, all of his glory. And he came down to earth like you and me, suffering at the hands of those evil that would do him harm. Why would he do that? Why would he choose to do that? Here is the God whose indescribable love for us can hardly be described in human words. I struggle up here as I try to put that into some word picture for you so that you can see the enormity of what God has done for you and me. He was jeered as with so much hatred. The creator of all of life, the healer of life, was jeered, hated, nailed to a cross, died the worst kind of criminal death. What humility did he have to go through to do that when he didn't have to receive that? What love and what he accomplished in doing so for you and me. In other words, as the scripture said, he emptied himself, humbled himself, and became obedient to the will of God to the point of death, even to die the shameful death on a cross. And he died for you. And he did it for me. He came to offer up his life as the perfect sacrifice that God could accept to forgive our brokenness, forgive our sin, laid down his life for every single person who has ever lived, for every single person who is living right now, you and me, and for every person that will live in the future. He came to release forgiveness into the world. And he came to take away our death, our punishment, and to give us peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that calms us when we're terrorized and horrified at what we do, at our sin, how ugly we act, how broken we are at times. He came so that we would not have to be horrified by that, but that we could be forgiven for that. He takes all of our failure, all of our guilt, to him on the cross. And he dies on the cross for us and pays the price there. For he came and made the way open that we might have eternal life. You know, again, I'm saying it is humbling to be loved like that if we understand just how much we're loved. If we can get our mind around that, if we can somehow get a hold of that, to realize to be loved to death by God, that God would go to his death because he loved us that much. It bows the head. It bends the knee. It is the end of all of our trying to justify ourselves. How often we look at our brokenness, how often we look at how we fail, and if we look at that long enough, the destruction it has on us. To be loved like this gives us a new sense of our own worth, of how much that God really loves us and sees us in the eyes of God, how he's looking down upon us. The Son of the Most High God has died for us as a servant king. Here's my second point about Jesus' hidden beauty and the relevance of the acts of Jesus as a servant king for us today. And that's going to take me back to the Leroy, the story about the dog. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, there was those who cheered him, "Hosanna, our king." And there were those who jeered him and who were disgusted by him. There were those who shouted, "Hosanna," and there were those who shouted, "Blasphemer." In fact, it wouldn't be long when instead of saying, "Jesus, Jesus," they would say, "Crucify him, crucify him." You see, when people saw Leroy, they saw how scruffy and untidy he was, and they missed seeing what he was doing for the people in that nursing home. They missed the warmth and the love and the presence that he gave to those people. And it's just as easy for people today as it was for the people of Jerusalem to dismiss Jesus as irrelevant and unimportant. It is for this reason that Jesus trained his disciples to follow his example of servanthood and humility and to be pointers to the incredible love that God has for all people. In other words, one of the things that Jesus tried to teach those that would follow him is that they are to serve one another, to love one another. If you want to be great in the kingdom, then you must become a servant. The task is no different for his disciples today, for you and for me. If we're going to follow Jesus, our task, what Jesus would have us to know, is that we are to be servants of others, the broken, the poor, the unloving. Some might say that it's more difficult today to be that kind of person, that kind of follower of Jesus, than it was even back in his day. But times haven't changed. The needs of humanity haven't changed one bit. Whether they realize it or not, people in our world, they need love. People in our world need comfort. People in our day need hope. People in our community need forgiveness. All people in the world need eternal life. Every person needs to have the hope with strength for the present and joy of a future. All this is given freely by the one who gave himself unconditionally on the cross for us. The elderly people in my opening story who got to know Leroy, they could see his true beauty, and they could see the beauty behind Leroy's scuffy exterior. They didn't see his untidy fur, his funny ears. They only saw his love and generosity for them. And as we travel with Jesus through this season of Lent to the cross, and then rejoice at the end together in the resurrection from the dead, may we be given the grace of God to see the true beauty of Jesus, to see his love, his obedience, his commitment, his willingness to die even for all sinners, for you, and willing to die for me, that we might have victory over sin, over death, over Satan, over brokenness, over the misery of life, and that we may be given new life. And as we journey with Jesus, may we also keep in mind that those who only see Jesus as another Leroy, maybe you can find a moment to encourage them in their faith. Maybe you can find someone that you see discouraged and you need to talk to them about the faith in Jesus, the faith that you have. Maybe you can talk about them what Jesus means to you. Maybe you can encourage them to go to an Easter service or even invite them to come to our service. But when you do, when you see those people that are broken, when you see those people that need forgiveness, when you see those that you see are in need, be genuine. Be gentle. Be kind. Be patient. And give them love. Let's encourage one another. Celebrate the wonderful good news that Jesus has come for us. He may not be lovely to look upon. His beauty may be hidden. But Jesus is King of all. Behold his beauty and make him King of your life. And share that life with others. Would you pray with me? Loving God, there are often things that are hidden to us in life. There are things that we don't understand, and we might even want to change. But God, you have come to remind us again in this service you love us so much, and that your ways are greater than the ways of man. And if we would just surrender our heart to Jesus Christ, make him Lord of lords and King of kings, that God, that you will transform in our heart and life a newness, a beauty, a hope, a joy, new life. And so God, we come to you to surrender ourselves in that way and to receive that gift that you want us to have. And we thank you, Father, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we close our service in singing.